From hedges to hardwood.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Hedge Talk. It's a special anniversary edition.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Number 20.
So it's not just championship week.
No, but...
20.
It's a good week because it is championship week. And it's episode number 20.
And it's raining.
Heavily.
And
gonna snow.
Was a magnificent win on Saturday at Bobby Dodd Stadium on Mr. Grant's field.
Dirty trout sniffing nerds.
Yeah. It was awesome. How did you guys enjoy it? I know how you enjoyed it.
You're bleeding into my segment.
It's a joyous occasion.
I know.
When you can beat up on nerds.
How was everyone's Thanksgiving, first and foremost?
Family, friends, and feasting.
Mine was just feasting. I don't care about family or friends.
He made himself a turkey and then ate sandwiches for 4 days.
Ate by myself. Ate an entire pie, pumpkin and pecan, both of them.
Literally?
Yep.
That does not shock me.
I even ate the aluminum molding. But
he ate the pan it goes in.
And by the way, before we get started, seeing as how it's the holidays and... we are an Amazon affiliate.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
I was trying to do some online shopping, and I was trying to figure out the best way to shop online. Do you have any suggestions?
You know, that's a good question because I always use Amazon when I shop online.
Oh, what do they have?
They
have a little bit of everything.
That's what I hear, Wes.
Books, electronics, clothing.
Shoes, maybe.
How do you get to that website?
Well, it's funny you should ask because we have a nice little button top left, and all you got to do is click on that little ad. It'll take you to Amazon, and you can shop and.
In other words,
until you die.
In other words, maybe. The H2H guys would be more than happy to guide you on your quest to fulfilling those Christmas wishes and needs this year.
Yes, it's top left. It says Amazon, and just click it. And you'll throw some bones our way. So those of you who have purchased large items in the recent past, thank you very, very much. We cannot tell you how much we appreciate your patronage.
So this way, you don't have to actually drive to a store?
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, all you got to do, when you get on H2H in the morning, just read to your heart's delight. Then you want to do some shopping? Click right up there, top left.
And if you want to leave a tab open and listen to the podcast while you do it, be our guest.
Yeah, you can leave your tab open.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the info. I just didn't know.
Yeah. It's a great way to shop, and I'm glad you asked that.
Get on that now, Tesla.
Shall we do a little trimming the hedges now?
Yeah, let's trim it.
Championship week starts this week.
Yes, sir.
Do want to comment about the previous game because I enjoyed it so thoroughly against Georgia Tech, as you mentioned earlier. Offense seemed to be back on track after the Kentucky game.
Yes, very much so.
Specifically the passing game.
Sans the running game, right? Until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and that's a little bit of a concern. Given our opponent this week. Actually, it's a gigantic concern. But maybe all signs point to Crowell playing. How long he will be healthy, we don't know.
I'm putting no stock in that.
But, I mean, our offensive line is, in my opinion, that's going to be the key to us having any chance of winning.
That's a very good point, actually, because LSU does lead the conference in sacks. With 33, and we've struggled to run block in certain instances, except for the Auburn game. And, of course, they trotted basically me out there on the defensive line.
Oh, wait, dude. Got Gabe Wright.
Oh, yeah, do they? Oh, awesome.
And Corey Lemonnier.
Also, from this past weekend, a it was not our defense's best game, but they played good enough. They limited their big play potential.
73 yards total offense after halftime.
Yes, I will say that. Grantham makes halftime adjustments like no other.
Yes.
And he's phenomenal in the second half.
Forced a couple of turnovers. One was a result of one of the worst throws I've ever seen in college football history. The other one was a great play by Sean Williams.
Great play. I watched the replay about 17 times, probably 20 minutes ago, and even better play than I thought it was initially. And the spike deserved 10 stars out of 5.
So you like the spike?
I like it. I don't care if he got 15 yards.
We ended up scoring on that
He's
drive.
He's excited. Right.
Did not score on the earlier one, however.
Good Sean, go Sean Williams. Next time...
He's got a little attitude.
Next time, bring a spike with you. And on the way past the tech guy after intercepting it, just...
Are you talking about shiving him, in other words? Okay, shiv him a little bit.
Speaking of defense, Garrison Smith, who was forced into the game due to D'Angelo Tyson's injury, defensive lineman of the week in the
SEC.
Nice.
Very nice.
He had a great game.
Very
Garrison
game.
Is coming on in a hurry, and I like it.
Marty and I looked at each other and said, we actually mentioned that he was playing a phenomenal game.
Oh, he was.
Before halftime, we looked at each other and said, he does not get enough publicity.
Mm-mm.
And he might have to play again because we don't know the availability yet.
I feel good about it. He's definitely earned it.
I think he can just step in and play. Murray looked a lot better. Receivers, I mean, Tech secondary was oof.
Awful.
Probably the worst, well, besides, not the worst we faced, but of the major teams, that they were... weren't good.
Here's the deal. You don't have 32 touchdowns by accident in this. He is obliterating the Georgia record.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was, what, 27?
26. 7th. Murray is 7th nationally in touchdown passes this
really?
Season. Yes.
Did not know that.
Well,
And we run a balanced offense.
Right.
Not Houston.
As I noted last week, Landry Jones... had the exact same number of touchdowns and maybe two less interceptions with 150 more pass attempts. He had 50% more pass attempts than Murray. Yeah. So,
and I think Murray, I think Landry Jones may actually have more interceptions. I don't know if that's right. But I don't think he has as many TD passes now.
Yeah. Either way. For all close, all the flack we throw his way and you need to go puke, Aaron.
I think he has been.
I don't think
he did against Kentucky. Maybe he just doesn't like throwing up.
Yeah, he's ran out of Ipecac before that game.
Gag reflex. Not good.
I think he definitely bought some before this game, though.
Interesting note from the game I saw. The third time in the past 10 years we have won this game by the exact score of 31-17.
Really?
0-1 and 0-5 being the other years.
Hmm.
Wow.
I don't know what that means, but it happened.
And also, you said third time?
Mm-hmm.
Probably the third sellout at Bobby Dodd Stadium this year, too.
Was it a sellout?
Well, yeah,
I'm just assuming.
There were plenty
of... The student section was a little thin.
There are plenty of spots available in the student section for Tech, I noticed.
They couldn't tear themselves away from that trig.
They don't get it. Like, I have this is a perfect dynamic. One of my high school friends... Friday, just started sending me trash talking text messages. I mean, like, one after another. Da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, it's okay. It's cool, dude. You can't even sell out primetime ESPN game versus Virginia Tech. Not even close. And he's like, well, it's because we have, of all 120 Division 1A teams, we have the largest alumni radius.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, okay, leave it to a techie to throw out some ambiguous stat that no one cares about as a reason why you can't fill up your stadium. Well, guess what? Here's something else they can still brag about. They still have the largest alumni radius. That's it. If that's true. So I just go figure.
You know, normally I don't.
By the way, speaking of the Tech, tell the listeners about the halftime chant during the Larry Munson tribute.
I don't even want to address that. I know you just pointed at me, but I don't even want that.
Hell with Georgia during the Larry Munson tribute.
Right.
Super classy. I'll have to say, I was not impressed by your 73 astronauts, Tech, but I did not rue you.
Or 14.
And make fun of the Space Shuttle Columbia exploding.
I
think it was Challenger.
It was Challenger.
Or whatever. I didn't make fun of that if a tech engineer was on there.
This is not, nor for not finding ET life.
Yeah.
I applauded the 14 astronauts they had put into space, and I appreciated that the administration or the athletic department, whoever is responsible for the tribute to Munson, I appreciate that they did that, and I thought that was a very classy move.
I thought so, too.
But the fact that their student section started chanting.
Just couldn't take it, could they?
No, that's just tasteless, completely classless altogether. And I was about to say earlier, I normally don't dog fan bases, but that is the weirdest looking and acting queerest group of people I've ever been around in my entire life.
Queer meaning strange.
Yes.
We're PC here.
Yes, choir.
They just, let me ruminate some more on this. Okay. I will admit, we probably have some redneck folks that attend a game or two. Tech thinks they're better than we are. It's just as bad, if not worse.
It's just as bad, but they have no. Georgia has a lot of fans that are not alum. A lot.
Oh yeah, well obviously
Tech has very little.
Probably 60% or 70% of the fan base is
right.
Non-alum.
Right. So
Tech has like 4 non-alum fans.
Yeah, I think there's one in Winder.
Yeah,
no, that's too close to Athens.
There's like one that works is my boss's son, and he's an idiot. So, I mean, clearly they all have something in common.
And it's stuff like that, the fans, that leaves them with very little talent.
Yeah.
Which ultimately was probably the reason we won. And
okay, Tech, you're good at math. You can show statistics that are in your favor, and that's about it.
And I'll simply say 10 out of 11.
Or 10-11.
Oh,
that's 10-11. An inside joke.
Yes.
But
we will not divulge.
On to this weekend. LSU comes in with the
LSU?
Second-ranked defense behind Alabama.
And boatloads of corn dogs.
They're first nationally in turnover margin. Actually, I looked this up. We've actually forced 2 more turnovers, 29, but we've turned it over. We've had 9 lost fumbles, I think is what I saw.
Wow.
Because Murray has 10 interceptions. It has to be fumbles, right? The other 9? We have 19 giveaways.
They have to be.
That seems like a lot.
Well, he lost 2 in Carolina game.
Lest I forget.
Yeah, don't forget that one.
And Crowell's
dropped 2 or 3.
Yeah, and Harton and Malcolm fumbled.
Right, there's 5.
So it probably is right.
Yep, it's easy.
And 7. There's 7 total already.
It's math. Hey, we're good at it, too.
Anyways, we're ranked 15th in turnover margin, so we're pretty good at that this year. Offensively, not much of a pass game for LSU. They're 2nd in the conference in rushing behind Alabama.
What are we rushing in the conference, like 5th or 6th?
I think that's probably right. It's not.
I would assume Vandy might have more rush yards than we do.
Yeah.
I mean, probably Carolina, but I'm just guessing.
Maybe.
Maybe, maybe not. They had a little bit of a lull there.
Mississippi State, I don't know.
They do, wrote, in case you did not see the Arkansas game, offensively they will rotate 4 effective running backs into the game.
Oh, yeah. Hilliard was freshman of the week this week.
Was it they have 4 running backs over 400 yards or something to that effect?
Yeah, and so
it's all right because we have 4 receivers over 30 receptions.
Wow, that's good to know.
Yep.
So the point is, they're not going to get worn down. Their backfield.
Hilliard was impressive in that game as well. Very impressive.
And Ware is, he didn't do much that game, but he's been their main guy.
And so he scored a touchdown in that game, I think.
Whoever, they can play the hot hand with four guys. I would say besides Alabama, they're probably the, or maybe more than Alabama, the deepest team in the country, just across the board.
Across the board. You may be right, because Alabama's a little thin on offense at most positions.
See, I don't really know anything about their linebackers.
I don't know about Barkevious Mingo?
They're all good. Well,
Mingo, but he plays with his hand down some, so.
Mingo's a little high. They play him a little bit everywhere.
You know, the crazy thing.
They have two of the best corners, DBs in the country.
Corners.
They move Matthew around.
What if Patrick Peterson had come back?
Oh, God.
Wow.
Did you see that punt return?
Oh, it was good.
Four punt returns in the NFL this season for touchdowns. Four of them. Of over 80 yards.
Wow. I think that's what they said. But, that's amazing.
Or it could just be two for touchdowns, but they said four returns of over 80 yards, punt returns.
Mm.
Set a record.
Rookie.
Anywho.
Does he even play on defense, too?
I haven't watched any of their games. Does he start?
I think he does.
Okay.
He was a first-round pick, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. He was, like, number three or four off the board.
He has to start, surely.
Or maybe he might have slipped to five or six. I can't remember.
Anyways, LSU, they've been starting Jordan Jefferson. And you talk about streaky.
It's first half last week.
First half was awkwardly bad.
Unimpressive.
Second half, he's woke up. So, in our game, I'm knocking on wood here. I will say we're probably the second best defense they've faced.
Right.
I think we're better than Oregon.
Oh.
Defensively.
Yeah.
And definitely better than West Virginia or Arkansas. So, let's just say he struggles.
Then we'll bring in that.
You think you'll see Jarrett Lee?
If we do, I hope we do.
The announcers were talking about him going in the Arkansas game when he was struggling.
He's a pick six machine. For us, anyway. Said it all year. Ask Akeem Dent.
Or Daryl Gamble.
It was actually Daryl Gamble. Whoopsie.
But,
I think, I don't even count the Tech game because they run the ball.
Look, their quarterback play and receiver play does not scare me in the least.
No.
We match up fine on the perimeter with them. Their running game, obviously, is going to be their biggest cog, and in which it's a traditional power formation. Running game, it's not a triple option, so I don't foresee it giving us that much trouble. I see us giving up yards, but not in chunks.
Right. Yeah, they have a pretty nasty fullback, and they just run it at you.
Right.
But even let's just say, the South Carolina game was the only game where we really got gashed by the run, and even that was really in the fourth quarter. So let's say.
Oh, God. He had an 80-yard touchdown run, right?
Lattimore against us? I don't believe he had an 80-yarder.
It was a long one.
He cut it back. He went right and cut it back left, and we had nobody stay at home.
Yeah.
This is what I have to say about that. Second game of the year, missing two middle linebackers.
Yeah. How about this? You remember who played that game?
Jeremy Sulek.
Yeah. Has he been playing lately?
Oh, no. Yes, he did play in that game.
In fact, not only has he not played in the Herrera and Gilliard have come in, Grantham has even gotten to the point where he'll move him to outside, back inside.
Right.
I mean, they're pretty multiple the way he uses his personnel.
Well, Gilliard, Robinson, and Ogletree at the same time a lot Saturday.
If I could see the numbers, I would have noticed that.
And Brandon Smith, did you notice, I think he got one snap or no snaps on defense?
Yeah, I guess that was
corners don't, they're not really as important.
Well, that's why I'm saying that, because that allowed us to play those linebackers inside against the option team.
Amarlo did not play on defense.
Which shocked me, I guess.
Grantham said he had never faced an option.
He just didn't play him.
So he didn't play him.
Well, I looked at you after the game. We talked about it, that we saw he was walking off, looked like he was a little upset. And it's assignment football. it's what you know about. You have to know the defense. Listen, and he can make up for what he doesn't know with talent.
He can't pout. He's a true freshman. They got
He's played a lot.
And significant minutes and contributed.
And played well.
And if you would have asked me if he would have been the linebacker that we signed that would have played this year, I would have called you crazy.
Right. Oh, speaking of which, since we're on the subject, I'm looking for big things from Kent Turin now that he's qualified.
Oh, I did see that he was returned to the class on Rivals.
Yeah. What about Jalen Fields and Lonnie Outlaw?
Not so much.
Yeah, won't get in.
Cut your losses there.
So, the only way I see us winning this game, I think we need to be plus two on the turnovers, and
one of them needs to go for a score.
Right. We have to score a non-offensive touchdown, and we can't give up a non-offensive touchdown.
Have you seen the weird statistic? I know statistics again, sounding like a Tech fan. they're like seventh in the country in scoring offense, but like 67th in the country in total offense.
They're 62.
Well,
I have that written.
There you go.
But anyway, it just goes to show you that they score 10 points a game non-offensively.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
And
they
probably have always had a good field position, and they don't accumulate a ton of yards.
Yeah,
but
precisely.
Well, as you noted, they force a lot of turnovers, and I would like to see how many defensive touchdowns they have because I'm sure it's...
And what they do...
We have one, and I'm sure they have four probably or five.
And I've never seen a team... I probably have, but if they score a touchdown, they could rattle off three more in like 5 minutes. I mean, they were down 14-0 to Arkansas and outscored them 41-3 the rest of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, how does that happen?
I don't know, but that just means if we get up by 21, I will be nervous until 2 minutes are left in the game.
If we get down by 10, I will give up.
Yes. Quite possibly.
But now, I will say, I don't even care if we lose this game. I mean, we're playing the number one team. They've blown everybody out. The most impressive victory was the close game against Alabama.
And otherwise, the odds makers do not count us in this game.
They've blown everybody out by double digits. So, who cares?
It's house money.
If we win, we play Houston, probably.
If we win...
Yeah, you're probably right.
We play Houston, and
it will, however, probably make. We'll be a top 10 team next year for sure. We might be anyway, but
if you lose this game and win your bowl game, you may be a top 10 team. You'll probably be top 10 anyway, because you only have two seniors on the defensive side of the ball, and as long as you talk Jarvis into coming back,
which I think, Rambo, I think it's going to happen.
Rambo might get some.
He's the one I think could make a bad decision.
I could see maybe him getting his evaluation back and saying, oh, second round, he's gone, or third.
Yeah.
However, on offense, we've got to rebuild the O-line.
That's going to be the problem.
We'll talk about this later. It's not pertinent.
This is on down the
road. All right, what else do you have for us?
How
about a prediction?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Okay. Let's take it around.
Ooh.
I don't know about – I mean, we could get blown out, obviously.
Yeah.
Especially if we it's all about Murray. If he's off, it's game over. Because he's going to have to we can't just run it on him, I don't think.
Nah, he's going to have to throw
he's
for
300. Yeah.
And two touchdowns easily, if not three.
And I would be disappointed if they if they gassed our defense the way they've played all year. So I think we can be mediocre on offense and still stay in the game. We can't be horrible, but average. But it's, I don't know. They're going to have to play poorly also, I think.
I'm going to predict we lose by 10. I don't know what the score will be, but I just feel like we'll lose by 10. Or actually, 8.
Okay.
Just because 10 is the line, and that's way too easy. So.
It's gone up to 13, I saw.
What influenced that move?
probably lots of betting on LSU.
I don't get this. I guess I'm just watching a different.
They've beaten everybody by that.
I know, but I think we're pretty good. I think people are underestimating us a little bit due to schedule, but
I also didn't mention their special teams are great.
That worries me tremendously.
I mean, all of it, punter, kicker, return game, all of it's good.
I'm going to say 24-16.
8 points.
LSU.
I say 27-17. LSU.
And the reason I say 16 is because we'll kick 3 field goals.
You think we'll make 3?
I'm not jinxing the man, but he's looked decent the last 3 weeks.
Only other news UGA-wise I have is Hoops team 4-2. They're playing tonight, which
will be last night when you listen to this.
Will be last night, so I don't know. They could get blown out again. And they play Cincinnati on Friday in the SEC Big East Challenge, and that's in Athens.
They have looked
it's a shaky 4-2.
Very, very, very bad at times.
You know what, though? If you're going to be optimistic about it, if we had last year's team, what would our record be?
Probably the same.
That's what I think.
Maybe 5-1.
I mean, the margin wouldn't be as bad on the losses, but
maybe 5-1.
Well, that Cal team, we might have beaten that Cal team.
We might have beaten them, but then I think we would have lost to Missouri.
Oh, yeah,
so
definitely.
4-2. I don't think we would have beat Xavier. We lost to him at home last
year.
That's
true, 4-2.
But,
well,
trying to look on the bright side.
I like that. I mean, that's refreshing.
That's all I got. You ready for a little CFB Nation?
I'm ready. Let's hit it.
College Football Nation. Nation. College Nation.
All right, how are we doing on time over there?
We're at the 27-minute mark.
All right, well, in lieu of that, I kind of surmised as much. So, really, in the rankings this week, there's only about 5 teams.
That really matter.
7, really, that really matter, one being us. So, I just thought I would throw that in.
By the way, go ahead. You're going to get to it.
Your top 5 BCS rankers, LSU, Bama, Okie State, Stanford, Virginia Tech, and like I said, Houston and Boise State don't matter.
They're not moving.
No one else does. We are 14, and that's pretty much it. Some notables in here are Texas at, what are they, 8-4 now?
Yes.
No, 7-4, because they still have to play this weekend. They're ranked 22.
Joke.
Yeah. And Penn State, despite getting throttled at the hands of Wisconsin over the weekend, did not move.
Not a sexual reference.
No. Did not move in the rankings, BCS.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool. We dropped a spot.
Yeah. I have a bone to pick with the BCS and all ranking systems. If you had to just go based solely on rankings, on record, not and what you were playing right now, we would not be number 14. Kansas State, for evidence, Kansas State is 11, and Michigan State is 13. I think we would beat both of those teams.
Well, those computer rankings all year. Love the Big 12 teams.
Absolutely.
Hate the Big 10
love
teams.
Them.
TCU is 18. Only 4 spots behind. We would kill them. I'm sorry. But I believe we would.
I can't say that because they beat Boise.
Well,
speaking of the computers, before you say anything else.
See, this isn't going to matter because if we beat LSU, we jump all those 2-loss teams.
Yes, I agree.
Stanford, I believe this is correct, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, jumped from 9 to 4 in the computer rankings this week.
I don't know that to be the case.
9-4, I believe I read.
For playing Notre Dame and beating them?
Right. Got a lot of stock for beating Notre Dame. 9-4.
That's terrible. Somehow, Florida State snuck in the rankings. The AP this week, up to 25 after beating Florida in the battle of one-handed Florida schools.
That was sad.
Yeah, it's just depressing.
Not really sad, but
sad.
But sad.
Okay.
They almost got shut out. When's the last time they've been shut out?
Florida. A long time.
I mean, it was bad.
Muschamp is on a short leash.
Yeah.
Very.
Very short leash.
Okay, here's another one for you that's a head-scratcher to me. USC at 10 in the AP. Now, I realize that they're probably pretty good, and they are most likely top 15 team, 10, 15, but they shouldn't be ranked.
I agree.
Who?
USC.
They're on
Western
probation.
Edition.
But it doesn't matter. It's the AP.
I know, but still, you shouldn't be able to rank them. That's just my opinion. All right.
Which somehow we beat a ranked team on the road and drop a spot in the coaches' poll.
I didn't get that either.
We moved from 13 to 14, and in the AP we moved from, 13 to 12?
Mm-hmm.
We dropped a spot. That's just proof that they don't watch the games or know what's going on. They just go down there and fill out the damn ballot.
South Carolina, we have the last laugh. You may be ranked higher, but I wonder how it feels. How empty do you Carolina fans feel in your second 10-win season ever?
Ever.
And we still have the last laugh. So take that in your crack. Put that in your crack
pipe.
What
Spurrier said after the game?
No.
The sideline reporter asked him. I don't remember who it was. Who's going to give the game ball to? He said, "Well, we got about 9 or 10 to give out. I think I may give one to myself since South Carolina doesn't win 10 games very often."
No. He said that.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, wow.
What a jerk. I hate
what
him.
What a pompous ass.
He completely kept us out of the national championship picture, that jerk. All right.
And Jadeveon Clowney.
And our quarterback. Headlines.
And Melvin Ingram.
Yeah. Rob Ionello, Akron head coach, was fired on his way to his mother's funeral on Friday.
Oh.
After winning only 2 games in his 2 years at Akron.
You know they knew he was headed to his mother's funeral, too.
Oh, yeah. It's like, what are you doing this after? Oh, I'm going to my mom's funeral.
Oh, well.
2 hours later?
Yeah.
Hey, you're fired.
Can you clean out your desk?
You know, what time are you going to be in the car on your way there?
Oh, that's
awful. It's like they set it up to call him.
Yeah.
I don't really.
What funeral home are you at again? They probably called the funeral home.
Yeah.
During the service.
Despite his mother's death, I don't really see how this didn't happen sooner, or he wasn't already a VIP clubber. I mean, he's 2-22, and
well, you're the
I know I
chairman.
Just completely
of the
choked
board
on that one. Sources say Urban Meyer has accepted the Ohio State job, and actually he has.
I was about to say at a press conference.
7 years and $40 million accepted. Rumors are he'll likely raid the cupboard of coaching folks down at Florida. So here's a little bit more adversity for you, Will Muschamp. Hope you crash and burn, traitor. RG3 probably going to play this week after being knocked out of Saturday's game with Texas Tech.
I'm guessing you didn't sleep well Saturday night because
I didn't even see this, actually, so it didn't bother me.
He got hit while sliding.
He came back in and scored.
Yeah. He finished the half.
It did not deter the ridiculous scoring, but I'll talk about that later. Vandy working on an extension for James Franklin. A deal is in the works per James himself.
Well,
so
I'm guessing
I get to see his stupid transitions lenses on the sidelines again next year.
they're bowling this year.
Look, I don't care.
He won
I hate
some
him
games
already.
He competed, but that dude is fit for a straitjacket. He is an idiot.
Yeah. This is kind of funny.
A little paranormal activity there, yeah. Tesla.
Door opening for no reason.
Yeah.
This relates to another story in our timeline, in my notes here. Appears as though UCLA would get a waiver to play in their bowl game when they end up 6-7 at the hands of Oregon on Saturday.
So they could finish 6-8.
Yes.
Yeah. That couldn't have happened before. There's no way that's happened before.
Wow.
No. No, it's terrible.
We'll get to the cheater.
Victoria's Secret has recalled.
Excuse me?
Yes. Victoria's Secret finds their way onto the headlines this week. Actually, it happened. It should have been material for last week, but it happened on Monday, so I didn't quite sneak it in. But they recalled a bunch of Michigan State women's clothing. They were shirts that had the Sparty helmet on the front with "Hail to the Victors" written under it.
That's Michigan.
That's exactly. That's Michigan's fight song. So I forgot who noticed it, but a blogger.
Like everyone is it. A Michigan State fan.
They were a little bit more than peeved that that happened. Also in headlines, Al Golden got a 4-year contract extension through 2019. Coach Miami. So I don't know why you do that. He has been there 1 year, and like I will say later, lost to a crap team over the weekend that they should have killed. So,
you know, those Big East teams that came over a few years ago.
I was wondering where you were about
the
to
ACC
go with that.
Just made them worse. Instead of them making the ACC better.
Yeah. Exactly.
Except for Virginia Tech.
Yeah, they're about the same.
That's the only program that remained on top.
And Kentucky wideout, Matt Rourke, started his first collegiate game in his last collegiate game at Kentucky over the weekend, helping the Wildcats break a 26-year losing streak to Tennessee.
Is he a senior?
Yes. I had no idea. Kentucky would otherwise not make the headlines, but 26 years in a row losing to Tennessee, you deserve that, snapping that streak.
That's pawnage is what that is.
It is just.
I can't even believe that.
Glad I did not. What was it, 10-7?
Yeah, it was pretty terrible.
What was
terrible.
His stat? How did he play?
They ran the option.
Okay.
So I think he completed. He was like 3-6.
Oh,
passing,
and did I see where Joker will be returning
this
season?
Yes, you did. That happened before the game.
They just don't want to.
They happened
pay
before the game.
Joke's on Joker. Maybe they'll still fire him.
All right. Time for a carnage, blood filled, nasty, throat cutting, I don't know what else, Gary Barnett VIP Club update.
It's 2-on-4, the Gary Barnett VIP Club update.
Our computers should sound effect should be about 30 seconds longer.
I'm amazed that the computer hadn't blown up.
After all the carnage that happened on Sunday and today.
And today, yes.
That's pretty amazing. So, everyone on our list, pretty much fired. Almost. Not quite. I did miss a few. Zucker, name redacted, 34-50 overall record at Illinois. Started 6-0 this season and ended 0-6.
Couldn't have happened to a better guy.
I mean,
with a loss to 3-9 Minnesota, 27-7. Canned.
Ooh.
Canned. They were 2-6 in the Big Ten. I don't know who they beat, but. Probably Northwestern, I guess. Maybe
I don't
Indiana.
Recall who they beat.
I don't know.
Indiana, perhaps. Dennis Erickson.
Yes,
31-30.
We missed this one.
At Arizona State. I was a little hesitant to put him on the list. I think maybe 1 week he
oh, they were ranked for like 2 or 3 weeks.
I think he made an appearance, but it was a very quick, abrupt appearance. They did not like that he lost to, I can't remember who over the weekend, but he lost.
They were losing. No, I don't know who they played. Somebody
anyway,
was playing. Was Arizona playing UL Lafayette? They were losing at one point.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I don't know what happened, but.
Well, I can't. Already mentioned, Mr.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No.
Did we talk about Arizona?
Yeah, Mike Stoops done.
No. Have we talked about who the head coach is?
Oh no, I guess not.
Mm-mm.
Rich Rod.
Yeah.
You missed this. Dick Rod got a job.
I completely missed that on the headlines. Well, maybe because it's not that important. Or I don't care that much.
Only Pac-12 team, well, existing Pac-12 team to not play in the Rose Bowl.
Really?
Yes.
Besides
the new teams.
Yeah.
Rob Ainello, already mentioned him, of Akron. Not fired, but probably will be by maybe the time you hear this in the morning. Paul Wolf at Washington State, he met with the Wazoo AD on Sunday and discussed his future. Mm. I would tend to think that means you can coach.
Wait, do they have a game this weekend? No,
that's the Pac-12. They're done.
See, I wonder why they wouldn't just go ahead and fire him.
I don't know.
Maybe they want to make a big deal out of it.
Maybe.
Isolate his day.
They are revamping the stadium and facilities, so.
Did you see that? Was it them that had on the combats Saturday?
Stanford did.
Stanford did, but.
UCLA did.
UCLA had on the Adidas.
The Adidas combat or whatever you call
they
that.
They should be calling the anti-combat.
I feel like Washington State wore charcoal gray.
Yeah, they have. I've seen
just
them wear
just an alternate
those.
Uniform.
I don't know.
I've seen them wear those.
Didn't help them.
No, they lost.
Larry Porter also can. 3-21
at
Memphis.
That was a lock.
I mean.
Yeah.
Basically.
Dungy.
Easily. Neil Callaway, kind of fired. He resigned.
He's fired.
Was forced to resign after going 29-51 and losing to a team who had not won a game, FAU. Mm.
See, that's the type of stuff that blows my mind. You beat Southern Miss,
yeah, week
who was undefeated, and then you lose to FAU.
I don't get it.
Rick Neuheisel, he was canned today. He lost 50-0 at USC, but will coach in their Pac-12 championship and bowl game.
What if they win that thing?
I was telling him the reason they fired him. I would like to call
this is good.
Avoiding the Dennis Felton corollary is what I'm going to call it. The year we won the SEC tournament,
yeah,
he would have been fired.
Right.
I think
I agree.
They had to let him continue because he won that and went to the tournament.
You're
so
right.
UCLA said, "No, buddy, we're not even taking that chance. You're out of here."
And you're right. I think that's absolutely correct. On the off ridiculous, earth-shattering chance. That those pieces of shit.
They would have to have an anthrax outbreak in the Oregon locker room to have any
anthrax outbreak.
Okay. Turner Gill fired.
Resurgence of smallpox.
This was easy. He's 5-19 in 2 seasons at Kansas. Okay. I have to say, there is a certain Auburn alum who is about 6'6 and played basketball and is very prominent in the NBA arena.
Charles Barkley?
Probably eating his words right now, my friend, who clamored for Turner Gill to be hired and said it was blatant racism. Actually, Turner Gill at 5-19 at Kansas and Gene Chizik had the same record, 5-19 at their prior schools.
Turner Gill will go on to coach
and win a national
championship. Arizona State and win a national championship.
Yes. Frank Spaziani somehow beat Miami at their place 24-17. Ja'Cory Harris did his best Quincy Carter impression and was picked off 4 times. And they lost, I guess. WTF is all I have to say about that.
So
Luke Kuechly had about 26 tackles.
So he survived the onslaught.
I guess he has. He'll probably be back, which depresses me. Everett Withers, UNC, shoo-in. They beat Duke 37-21, but he's done.
Well, that doesn't even count.
That's what I keep screaming.
Okay. All right. Mike Sherman lost at home to Texas 27-25. Can I start a rumor about him being fired on the air? Can I just say?
I think
he got fired.
Let's just say he got fired.
Okay. Well Mike Sherman got fired.
First of all, when you start,
according to our unnamed sources,
yeah, in the top 10 and we say that's stupid and they're overrated.
Right.
Then they go 6-6.
And if you don't believe us, go back and listen to it.
Yeah. And he was on the hot seat 2 years ago. I see no reason to keep him.
No. One in four in his last five games? You should be canned. Easily. All right. Well, I think I'm going to start next week with a coaching search. I'm going to have to rename the segment somehow. Unless a couple more of these guys get canned, in which case I will.
Well, you saw where one coach besides Meyer has already been named. Mr. Bob Davey.
Oh, Bob, yeah. He's so excited about that job.
Oh, he was.
That he did the color on the game. Friday.
Could not wait to go coach New Mexico to the point where he just still continued his job at ESPN.
Yeah. I don't want to be on recruiting for New Mexico. I mean, what does that guy do anyway? Just go around Barstow, California, and hand out scholarships?
Probably.
Anyway, that pretty much does it for that segment.
Okay.
I'm going to move on to notable games from last week. As we said earlier, Texas A&M chokes at home against Mack Brown and Company, 27-25. LSU over Arkansas to clinch the West, 41-17. Michigan over Ohio State, 40-34, ends a 7-year losing streak for the Buckeyes.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Or for the Wolverines, excuse me. As I said earlier, UK over Tennessee, 10-7. Boring, but pretty much keeps Joker off the hot seat, officially, I would say. Maryland, this is your interesting note of the week. Maryland blows a 27-point lead and loses to North Carolina State, 56-41.
So not only did they blow the lead, they still ended up losing by two touchdowns.
Yes. They were leading 45-21 entering the fourth quarter.
They should have been docked 14 points for the damn uniforms.
They gave up 35 points in the fourth quarter.
Did you see the uniforms they had on?
No.
Look, I didn't know it was Maryland. I had to look at the score to see what it was, who it was. They're like yellow pants and white tops with a weird helmet.
Oh, it's probably those weird Maryland flag.
Yeah, or helmets. The egg helmets, or the tortoiseshell helmet.
So I think I may be adding Mr. Randy Edsall to this
after one year?
Gary Barnett VIP club in a very soon. Yeah, maybe. Bama 42, Auburn 14. Chizik cordially says he needs to shake things up a bit after the loss.
What does that mean?
That includes everyone from coaches to players to graduate assistants.
And checking accounts.
Yeah.
Exactly. Shake things up a bit, like money.
Well, they
do
have a 5-star running back committed, I noticed.
I didn't see that.
I believe I read that today, actually.
Who cares? Baylor 66, Texas Tech 42. There was a big controversy over this, that a line originally for this game was set at 102 points over under. That was refuted by several odds makers and proven pretty much to be false. However, they broke it anyway, so it didn't matter. It was like 84, I think.
Oh.
But they went over 102, so it didn't matter. Carolina over Clemens, 34-13.
Clemens.
As usual, three games a year, Clemson just doesn't show up, despite being favored.
Well, his time in the sunshine is long gone.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't we say that they were due to lose three out of the last four?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go figures. USC.
There's a will, there's a way.
USC scraped past UCLA 50-0.
That's always the
nothing to see.
Cliched score of when you want to kill a team. I hope we beat them 50-0, and they did.
Dogs, 31-17 win over the North Avenue Trade School. Thought I would sneak that in.
The Institute. Oh, by the way, Institute. I forgot to say that in case you missed it. If you were at the game, they are calling themselves the Institute.
Another thing.
We have the U, now we have the I.
Another thing we failed to mention.
I'd say MIT is the institute.
Screw
them.
Earlier was Wes's little observation at the game, which we posted on Twitter.
Yes.
What did you happen to see, Wes?
Happened to see the epitome of techery in front and to my left. I will not describe what he was wearing. You just need to look up our tweets. Go back.
I was referring to the other thing you saw on the Jumbotron.
Oh, actually, I saw that too. I thought we were talking about the douche nerds around me. The two that smelt bad to my right and the loser in front of me.
No.
Saw a little, it should probably be in West Coast Hollywood because that happens a lot in the Hollywood realm. Can I even say this?
It was a wardrobe malfunction.
There you go.
That's a good
wardrobe
way to put it.
Malfunction. And
a la Janet Jackson.
Pasty involved.
No. On the Jumbotron.
Not a lot to see from reports.
Don't have to use a lot of
from initial reports, but
sources claim who are unable to speak.
And we don't have pictures, so for those of you who
you perverts
spoke on a condition of anonymity,
said about 10 of you on the tweet. On the Twitters.
We're asking for
that
photos?
It did not happen unless I provide photos. we do not have photos because it occurred for about 1.5 seconds. So
I don't even know if it was that long.
Is that even legal?
What?
To post something like that.
I don't know. When you're at the game, they can use your likeness.
Anyway, it
they
happened.
Have your consent. Anyway.
Techie wardrobe malfunction.
Notable games this week. UCLA at Oregon, 8 Eastern, Friday on Fox.
Where do they play that game?
A home game for Oregon.
What?
Yeah.
They're not having
Is it?
I'm pretty sure it's not a neutral site game.
I didn't
know
that.
That game's on Friday, right?
Yeah, Friday at 8. Oregon's a 31.5-point favorite.
Holy smokes.
Southern Miss at Houston. I don't know where that one's played. It's the Conference USA Championship, 12 Eastern on ABC, 13.5-point favorite.
What do you do with Houston if they lose that game? I know I'm throwing out a lot of ifs here.
They'll go to some Bell.
What do they have to be in the top 12?
If they
lose, they can't go because you have to win your conference.
Right.
That's why Boise can't go because TCU will win.
Sorry.
So we might not have any loser teams in there this year.
I drop them to like 18 or 19 anyway.
Texas at Baylor, 3:30, ABC.
If RG3 plays, I predict. By the way, if Texas loses that game, next year, I think you put Mac Brown on the.
You may be right.
Gary Barnett.
This game was originally set as Baylor being a 2.5-point favorite. However, the game is now off because of RG3's concussion symptoms. Oklahoma at Oklahoma State, Bedlam, which is a de facto Big 12 championship game.
By the way,
Eastern on ABC. Okie State's a 3.5-point favorite.
People who question the three teams from the same conference who can't read the rules, should Georgia win and LSU and Alabama still 1 and 2, we would still go to the Sugar Bowl and they would still play in the BCS championship game.
Explain to the listeners how that works.
Because the 1-versus-2 rule and the automatic bid rule override the 3-team rule. That's why.
Okay. We'll just trust you, Brad
Edwards. Can't figure it out. They keep asking.
Thanks. Brad Edwards just made an appearance on the show.
Appreciate you,
Brad. Texas, or I've already done that one. Virginia Tech at Clemson. In Charlotte, 8 Eastern, ESPN. Clemson is getting 7.5 points here.
There might actually be a lot of people there, unlike most ACC championship games.
Wisconsin at Michigan State, 8:17 on Fox.
Jacksonville, God bless them.
Why are they playing all these championship games at 8?
I don't know.
Why don't they spread it out? Ours is not at 8, but.
Michigan State is getting 9.5 points. And UGA at LSU.
They're playing Wisconsin again, right?
Yeah.
And Joe Pye's name has been removed from the championship trophy.
Yes, it has. Why would they be a 9.5-point favorite when they beat them earlier in the season as a 9.5-point favorite or underdog, whatever.
I don't know. That's what I'm just writing.
What Wait, Vegas you're saying, what, Michigan State's getting 9.5? Is that yes. what you just yeah. said?
Yes.
What?
I'm just reading what Vegas had.
A higher-ranked team that has already beaten the team they're facing is getting 9.5.
Where's that game played?
I'm not sure where it's played. It's Indianapolis. Michigan State's the home team. UGA at LSU, they're the home team. It's in Atlanta, as you well know. 4 on CBS, 13. We're getting 13 points. 5-star performers of the week. Matt Barkley versus UCLA, 35 of 42 for 423 and 6 touchdowns. Chris Nwoki, running back, Colorado State versus Air Force Academy, 29 for 269 and 2 touchdowns. And they still lost. So, Steve Fairchild.
They still lost.
Steve Fairchild, Colorado State, you are also.
Yeah, he's on the radar.
Yep. And I would say he's in the sights. He might be fired in the morning. Latavius Murray, running back, UCF versus UTEP, 21 for 233 and 2 touchdowns. That's an 11 and change average there.
By the way, sorry to interrupt.
Mm-hmm.
I hate this, but if Matt Barkley comes back, they're probably going to be BCS contender at USC.
Oh, yeah.
I hate it.
Depressing.
Trent Richardson versus Auburn, 27 for 203, no touchdowns. I just had to put him on there because I hate Auburn.
He had a receiving touchdown.
And one, yeah, he had a like 40 yards receiving maybe.
And a touch.
Patrick and Edwards, wide receiver, yeah. Houston versus Tulsa, 8 for 181 and 4 touchdowns. Sideways stats there. Marquise Lee, who does not spell his name with a U. There's no U in there. Marquise. Wide receiver for USC versus UCLA. 13 receptions for 224 and 2 touchdowns. So I'm going to have to say I will.
What was that one?
13 for 224 and 2 touchdowns.
That's pretty good.
I'm going to have to give Matt Barkley.
I knew that's where we were going.
The award this week. I hate USC. I hate Matt Barkley, but that's you can't.
I'm too good for the Elite 11 camp.
Can't argue with that. Now for our Butkus Award Watch finalists, Luke Kuechly. These are actually finalists.
Oh, they announced the finalists.
Announced the finalists. Check the website today. Luke Kuechly, Boston College, 191 tackles, 12 tackles for loss. Courtney Upshaw,
No sacks. Luke Kuechly.
No sacks. Courtney Upshaw, Bama, 44 tackles, 7.5 sacks, and 16 tackles for loss. Don't A. Hightower, Bama.
Don't A.
81 tackles, 3 sacks, 9.5 tackles for loss.
Not that impressive.
No.
Numbers-wise.
He's just big as shit. I know. And he plays for Bama, so you had to put him on there.
Got to put him on there.
Levante David, Nebraska, 122 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss. Or sacks, and 10 tackles for loss. Manti Te'ao, Notre Dame, 111 tackles, 4.5 sacks, 12 tackles for loss. Jarvis Jones, UGA, 66 tackles, 13.5 sacks, your national leader in sacks, 19.5 tackles for loss. I believe you're number 2 nationally in tackles for loss.
I read where he was 3rd in sacks. Are we sure on that number 1?
Well, he was tied at the end of the game Saturday.
I think a couple people got some.
Okay. Well, that dude from Illinois.
He's not on the list, though. Forget him. The other guys.
What do you mean, the other guys?
Well, the other guys are probably linemen anyway.
That's what I'm saying. The other guys are not on the list that you're reading, I'm not worried about them.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Okay.
You have to treat him differently because he's...
I'm going to vent about Alabama for a second.
Do it.
Out of the... 5 national awards that really matter. I'm not including the kicker awards. They have at least one person on there. Every one of them.
Not quarterback.
Vlahos, O lineman.
Mm-hmm.
D lineman, or I believe one of these jokers is on here. Dante Hightower is on here. So he's on here for two.
Probably, what is that, the Outland? No, that's in, no. That's interior
defensive
lineman,
defensive players. Defensive National Player of the Year.
So Nagurski?
Yeah.
More Alabama players. DBs.
Thorpe Ward.
Thorpe Ward. More Alabama
Mark
players.
Mark Barron and Kirkpatrick, are they both on there?
Mark Barron. No Kirkpatrick, Mark Barron. I get that they're good, okay? But they're not all that good. I'm sorry. They should. They're, don't A. Hightower does not deserve to be on this list. Danny Trevathan does.
I agree with that.
So get off here, Alabama, just because you have Nick Saban as your head coach and you think you're awesome at everything doesn't mean you just get on here.
Tell you what they don't
Everybody's
have.
Scared of Don't A. Except, I mean, I'm not. His stats don't jump off the page to me.
No.
These awards are about stats. And if you don't have them, you shouldn't be on here. It's not about intimidation factor.
And
sorry.
Where you project.
Anything else?
They don't have anyone on the Mackey Award.
I predict
Award.
Luke Kuechly will win this award. So, there you go.
By virtue of number of tackles?
Well, by virtue of number, and he's projected to be a top 15 pick, so.
See, I'd never heard of him before we started talking about this award.
Mackey Award finalists.
Who Bama does not have.
No.
No.
Member on.
No. No, but if Brad Smalley could smell, he would be on here.
Smell.
Orson, 40 for 530 and 5 touchdowns. Big game last week.
Yes.
5 for 95. Allen, Dwayne, 45 for 539 and 6 touchdowns. Virtually the same numbers.
Yeah.
Eifert, Notre Dame. Listen to this. Apparently he racked up about 15 catches this week.
Shit.
57 for 713 and 5 touchdowns.
That's going to be tough to beat.
Yep. So, I don't know, man.
Orson needs a big week.
Orson
needs about 22
needs to show
catches.
Out. Yeah. About 200 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's pretty much all I've got after 45 minutes in the segment.
Okay, shall we take a short break?
Short,
come
very
back
short.
With West Goes Hollywood.
Welcome back, folks. This is Wes. It's time to go.
West Coast, Hollywood. West Coast, Hollywood, Hollywood.
Movies.
Hollywood, West Coast. West Coast, Hollywood.
Box office.
Hollywood, Hollywood. West Coast, Hollywood, Hollywood. Yeah, Hollywood.
Well, apparently most of America was stuck in their homes eating turkey this weekend because usually Thanksgiving's a big weekend for the box office. Numbers were down just a little bit this year. Coming in at number one this week, same as last week, Twilight, number 47.5, breaking my ass, $42 million.
That could be why. Twilight.
I mean, down from the previous movie, which is kind of unprecedented for these big sequels like this that drag on for 47 movies and are supposedly better. But
oh no, it was reports from the movie were it was awful.
Was this report be your report?
That's what I was about
no,
to say.
No, it wouldn't be mine. There are also reports of wolves mentally talking to each other and talking to people in their
head. They do that.
Telekinesis?
Telekinesis. And the
So it's a Charles Xavier Wolf.
It sounds like this.
Charles Xavier Wolf?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Stupid. What is the budget for these movies?
I didn't look, but
it's
I can find that out for next week because they will be in the top five.
It has to be not high because they are crappy.
I'll tell you this. I'm going to start giving you the star rating. That's the user rating. I know I've done a little bit of that in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start giving it to you along with these monetary figures. The Twilight film that grossed $42 million this week, 4.7 out of 10 is the current rating on that film.
Go figure. And that's just because
4.7.
Yes, and they debut high.
And the only people that see him are diehard.
Diehard fans. There's a few critics that vote, obviously, on the site. IMDb will have them do that. However, 4.7.
Blah.
Number two, opening relatively strong, The Muppets. 29.5 million.
Aaron Murray says don't go see that movie.
And star rating, 8.3.
So,
8.3, I don't know.
It might just be worth it to go watch 15 minutes of it. Like, sneak, buy a ticket to another movie and then sneak in and watch that one.
15 minutes while the previews are playing for the movie you actually paid for. And then go into the movie you paid for.
Yeah. By the way, we don't advocate breaking the law. I'm just, you know.
Is that illegal?
Some people.
Well, technically, it's not. If you paid for a ticket, who cares if you changed your mind once you got
it? It's not illegal. It's probably just against
house rules. Frowned upon.
Kind of like card counting is against house rules.
Right. Not illegal.
Yes, not illegal. Number three this week, Happy Feet 2, $13.4 million.
Two more Happy Feets than should have ever been made.
And actually, semi-news on that, the animation company is releasing 700 employees within the coming weeks, pretty much stating that there will be not be a Happy Feet or Foot 3.
Oh.
Thank God.
Happy Foot 3.
That movie is currently rated 5.8 out of 10.
Basically, Happy Feet got...
needs to get some tough acting to Nacton because they got a little athlete's foot going on.
Or frostbite.
Or what is that society where they curl the toes under, curl the feet over on the women?
You know, I don't know. About? Let's not talk about that because it's gross.
One of those things. Coming in at number four, Arthur Christmas. 12.7 million.
Is that the aardvark author?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Animated film. Rating?
Wait a minute. Arthur was an aardvark?
Yes. I'm pretty sure. For those of you that grew up with Georgia Public Broadcasting.
I didn't watch the crap.
I hated the show. I didn't like it. But
did you read the books?
No. I can't read.
Illiterate. Anyway, that film
Hope
going
you
off.
I enjoy our written material.
He can write, he just can't read.
Yeah, I just can't read. I can't edit my own writing. I have to have someone else do it because I can't read.
Letters mash. That movie going off at a 7.1 clip currently in the ratings department. The disappointment of the week is Best Picture possible nominee, driving for Best Picture, the Martin Scorsese film Hugo, 11.3 million.
You know why?
Because people don't care about watching acclaimed films.
No, because I care, and because I tried to go see it, and there was one theater playing it at a grossly inconvenient time.
All I know is the rating on this film so far is an 8.7.
I'm sorry, but one showing at 4:50 and then another at 10 is not convenient for me.
Where did you try to see it? At, like, Toccoa?
No. No, Gainesville, my friend. Gainesville, Georgia.
I don't think it was a limited release.
That depresses
me. It was not showing at Dawsonville or... actually, it was showing at Buford, but I was not on Thursday.
How many Twilight showings did they have?
Or Friday.
I bet they
73?
Had See, that's what kills me, is you have films like this. They get one showing that are possibly great films, and then you have this junk like Muppets, Happy Feet 2, Jack and Jill, which I'll get to directly, and Twilight dominating the box office because people want to see these family films / genre films like vampires.
I couldn't find it on anywhere except Black Friday Hub, Mall of Georgia.
Hub?
Ugh. Yeah.
That's neither going there. That's neither here nor there. And I'm going to include number six at the box office this weekend, which was the Adam Sandler, Jack and Jill, 10.3 million. And the sole reason I am including this piece of trash is to tell you that the user rating out of 10 is 2.8.
So that made only $1 million less
than Hugo.
Which will be
a Best Picture nominee, more than likely.
I'm going to find this movie and I'm going to see it.
Might have to shank somebody.
Maybe.
I think they should do an IQ test on everybody who goes and watches a movie.
Can we
if you're not above a level, you can't see a movie.
Nobody would make any money.
Or they should do revenue sharing. Like the you NBA. Do an IQ test on the people who go to see Twilight, and if they fail the test, you share their revenue with Scorsese.
Yeah.
Can we all agree that we will do a movie review this week, next week? I have some free time on Sunday.
I would like to see that one.
Okay.
The Hugo.
Yeah, because opening this week, that's a good segue, is nothing worth talking about. There's a couple of limited release foreign films, which obviously no one in this booth cares about. Two major releases for this weekend, and I'll let you decide if you want to see either one of these. First up, Shame, which has made the rounds on the movie festival circuits and garnered a lot of attention and a lot of awards. Along the lines of Drive, which we talked about earlier, which was a Ryan Gosling film that did horribly at the box office, but critics loved. The drawback is this is an NC-17 film.
Won't be shown at any theater.
This is the tagline. In New York City, Brandon's carefully cultivated a private life, which allows him to indulge his sexual addiction, is disrupted when his sister, Sissy, arrives unannounced for an indefinite stay. This is directed by Steve McQueen, who I believe this is his third film, nothing of note. I think the only other film was Hunger that had got him any notoriety. Michael Fassbender continues his tear in Hollywood and starring in this film as Brandon. And apparently you get to see his endowment multiple times throughout this film, along with other people. Lots of nudity in this like NC-17.
American Psycho or something. It sounds kind of...
Also starring Carey Mulligan and James Badge Dale. Metascore, a 94 out of 100.
Ooh.
And current user rating, 8.0.
Sorry, but this doesn't interest me. Because I feel like it's one of those trendy flicks that people want to see because it's kind of taboo. Show some mangina. I don't care about seeing that.
I'm old Greg.
I don't care about seeing that.
You see my downstairs 90, mix up.
But 94, I mean, that's...
94 out of 100 Metascore.
The Queen, my friend, got like 97. Have I ever seen that or have I wanted to? No.
That's a bad example because you haven't seen it. You can't speak to how good it is. Oh, yeah. The Queen, it got a high score, but I really don't know if that's plausible or not because, I hadn't seen it. Anywho, if you don't like films like that, there's another film opening along the same similar lines. Sleeping Beauty. Nothing to do with the Disney classic, might I add. This is your tagline. A haunting portrait of Lucy, a young university student, drawn into a mysterious hidden world of unspoken desires. Currently getting a 54 out of 100 on Metascore and a 5.5 on user rating. Directed by Julia Leah. Nothing. This is her directorial debut, I believe. Starring Emily Browning. And if you saw the vastly over-anticipated Sucker Punch, the Zack Snyder film earlier this year.
I did not.
It was not very good. She was the star of that, also starring Rachel Blake and Ewan Leslie.
Don't care.
Horrible weekend.
I haven't heard of the past
films.
10 names you said.
Those are wide releases?
Those two are the only wide releases this weekend.
I can't believe that NC-17 pick is getting a wide release.
A lot of times they'll consider it limited if it's only certain cities, maybe open in multiple cities, just not many theaters.
Man,
as you
possible.
Said, NC-17. NC-17.
That's rated NC-State or something.
Which means it's bad for your eyes.
Shit. Anyway, that's this weekend at the box office. So if we go review a film, it will not be anything opening anew. We'll have to see something that's been out for a while.
We'll try
while.
To see Hugo, but no, that's TBD, I guess.
Yeah, actually, I wouldn't mind seeing Hugo, really.
Yeah,
I would,
Scorsese, it's not going to be awful.
I mean, I do have the Scorsese 3-pack with Goodfellas, The Aviator, and The Departed.
That's a pretty good 3-pack.
It's a good 3-pack. Walmart wrote me in on that bad boy. All right, next up news. Little news out of Batman again. Not so much at Batman, but something to do with Batman. Marty, one of your favorite Hollywood starlets, the current Catwoman and Selena Kyle, Anne Hathaway, is engaged to Adam Shulman. If you don't know who that is, he was one of the stars of the TV, made-for-TV Dukes of Hazzard: The Beginning.
He was a star?
Oh, yeah, he was a star.
Oh, my God. Does anybody see the irony in this? A Jewish Dukes of Hazzard guy? I mean, yeah. You just figure that's going to happen, but just the sheer irony
Leave it to Hollywood, man.
Of a guy in a yarmulke skimming across the hood
of a Charger.
Of a 68 Charger and yelling, yee-haw, as they jump over a pond and with
Dixie,
no ramp.
And Dixie blares across the horn.
Yes, that's just... What would only be better is if he had the yarmulke on, slid across the hood of the car, and then had a menorah, like a little bobblehead menorah on the front of the hood.
As he slid across, he spun a dreidel on the hood.
And he just spun
reaches
forever.
Into his vest and pulls out a bagel.
A bagel.
And then gotta eat on the run.
And then he pulls out his pocket and he's got some lox, some salmon.
All while drinking some.
And then he directs a movie. And then he produces
Uncle Jesse's
a movie.
Moonlight.
And then he writes a TV episode really quickly.
Yes, yes. Anyway, they've been dating for, I believe it said, 3 years. We weren't really worried about the particulars, but there's another one of your favorites, Biting the Dust.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Dead to me.
Also, this week, resuming filming is the third installment of the Chronicles of Riddick. This is actually going to be written and directed, is being written and directed by the same group that did the first two, starring Vin Diesel.
Another one?
Yes, this is the third one. They stopped filming. It was apparently already being filmed. They stopped filming due to financial situation and have currently resumed filming. Vin Diesel, number 3, Chronicles of Riddick. Name in the works, Dead Man Stalking. Chronicles of Riddick, Dead Man Stalking.
Great title. I'd like to go back to the Jewish guy in the 68 Charger. That would kind of be like me in a World War II biopic about
the Aryans?
No. Even better, a biopic about a Japanese naval guy.
Playing a kamikaze bomber?
Playing a kamikaze bomber.
I was going to go with you being a... doing a biopic and in the lead role is Shaka Zulu. Or maybe they tried to rejuvenate the Mahatma Gandhi film and you play Gandhi.
Or make a movie about the Trail of Tears and I'm the chief Indian leading my...
You're the chief Cherokee?
Yeah. This just makes no sense.
I like
I'm sorry.
That, though. He said a kamikaze pilot.
Number one, I couldn't even fit in the plane.
Right.
Number two, just the sheer irony of a 6'5"
pale redheaded
dude in amongst a bunch of 5'8" Japanese guys. I mean, it would be awesome.
Or maybe you could be like one of those new guys from Guatemala. You could be a little Guatemalan.
Yeah.
A little tribesman.
No, it would be a immigration story. Tragedy and triumph.
All right. Along the lines of the Anne Hathaway announcement, there actually is a little bit of Batman news. Christian Bale, in an interview publicizing the upcoming Dark Knight Rises, has announced that this will be his final Batman film. For both he and Christopher Nolan, they are bowing out after the trilogy is complete, which puts to bed any rumors that Christian Bale will reprise the role for the talked-about Justice League film that DC is currently working on.
I'm glad he's done.
I agree. I like this move.
Got to do a... If there is a Avengers, got to do a Justice League.
Oh, yeah,
see,
you
Christopher
have to.
Nolan would never direct that, in my opinion.
No, I don't think he could make a storyline that would be plausible to involve that many.
I don't think he would want to.
That's what I'm saying.
I want to see Marvel versus DC.
Or Capcom.
Or Capcom. That would be fine, too.
Can we just play the video game?
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Also, along the lines of celebrities pubbing upcoming films, Charlize Theron, in an interview about her upcoming film Young Adult, has dropped the bombshell that in high school and grade school, she never quite fit in.
Oh, of
this
course
is,
not.
This is a direct quote from Charlize. This is bad. I wore really nerdy glasses because I was blind as I... Wait a minute, hold on. I should have put a comma in here somewhere. I wore really nerdy glasses because I was blind as could be, and the boys didn't like me. I didn't have any boyfriends, but lots of crushes. Now, I'm sorry.
That's BS.
I'm calling bullshit on this one.
All these swimsuit models say the same thing. I was the nerdy kid. No.
No, and she
just had low self-esteem. You're hot.
Yes, you're gorgeous.
Or you're just lying.
You clearly lived in a box at some point, but we're gorgeous nonetheless.
Let's talk about the reverse side of this. What about the guys she had crushes on? I mean, what do you think they're thinking right now if that's true?
Oh, if she released names, there would be mass suicide. Like, I would eat a cyanide capsule if I found out she had a crush on me. That blows my mind.
That
I don't
monster
understand.
Movie really disturbs me, though, about her.
Get that out of your mind. No way you got to go with the extreme.
Because that's the one thing that sticks in my head, the extreme.
Well, go
extreme
watch.
Extreme bad or extreme good.
Go watch Devil's Advocate. Make you feel better. Or Aeon Flux. It'll make you feel a lot better.
Legend of Bagger Vance.
Yes. I mean, go watch all those films.
Will Smith?
The Italian Job. Get back to me after this.
Oh, what was the... Time to Kill.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
She was
Time to Kill.
McConaughey's wife.
Right.
All right. Yeah, there's a lot of good examples.
Or go watch Men of Honor. She was De Niro's wife.
Wow, about 25 years younger.
Yeah, at least.
Or
30.
10. Men of Honor isn't that old.
I thought he's talking about the age difference, right?
Yeah.
Oh. Bah.
Good for him.
I don't see a problem with that. Oh, all right.
Good for his fictional. Or I guess it was a true story, but I doubt
the guy's wife looked like that. If it did, I mean, I would like to go shake the guy's hand. Wait a minute. Well, he's probably long gone. Anyway, more news in the along the line of sequels. In case you missed it, it's been announced that they will be making a fourth Bourne film. Bourne Legacy.
See, I'm done with that. I didn't really even like those movies that much.
Well, apparently so is Matt Damon.
Oh, he's not even
reprising his role as Jason Bourne, yet it will maintain the name Bourne Legacy and not feature the character Jason Bourne.
All right, that's dumb. There's no use in making that if he's not going to be in it.
It's reportedly to star Jeremy Renner.
I don't know who that is.
Did you see The Hurt Locker? Best
no.
Picture. A couple years back. He was
Parts
the star.
Of it, not
he
the
was
whole
the star
thing.
Of Hurt Locker. Did you see SWAT?
I know who the guy is now, but I know who he is.
Okay.
This is a bad idea.
Right, I agree. But apparently this is the fourth book in the series. These are made after books. He stars as CIA.
It would be funny as if they used clips from the previous three movies to try to fit Damon in.
What would be even funnier is if three quarters of the movie was clips from the previous three movies.
Right. Well, that'd just be creative.
That would be. What if you made a fourth installment that were the first three ones combined?
Yeah.
Just re-released.
Or they do like on
the budget would be nothing. You
Captain
just
America
up.
Or Tron Legacy, and they just put his face on someone else's body from the and do action sequences.
Oh, what if? Yeah.
Because he doesn't talk.
What if they re-released the first three and put Renner's face over Matt Damon's body for the first three?
Would you notice? I don't know.
Probably not.
I mean, when they re-released Star Wars that time, they put a new scene in with put Jabba the Hutt in one of the things. No one caught it. except for the diehards, of course.
I don't even remember that part, but I'm glad you do.
They can do stuff like that. Anywho, also starring Rachel Weisz, who is on a tear since marrying James Bond and dumping the Mummy series, thank God.
Yeah.
And Edward Norton, who... Oh,
he's back.
He's back. I'm kind of... You know, I was high on Edward Norton back around American History X, but then he had to stick his nose in The Incredible Hulk.
He also did a role that did not make sense for him. I want to say it was The Kingdom or one of those titles like that.
In the Kingdom of Heaven, he was the...
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
He was the king of Israel at the time, and he was a leper. You don't even know it's him.
It's dumb. Why was he in that movie?
You go off his voice is the only reason anyone knew it was him. But he lost me at The Incredible Hulk.
I agree.
You get points taken away for that.
He can't be over, 5'7", either.
Oh,
like,
no.
There's no way he's over 5'7", and about 170 pounds. So no.
And he was a mean-looking skinhead, by the way.
There's no way he's Hulk material.
What? He was on a roll there.
Well, see, that's the whole point of the Hulk thing, though. He's supposed to be diminutive in stature.
Yeah.
Not that diminutive.
Well, Mark Ruffalo is the Hulk in the upcoming Avengers film, and he has to be 5'4".
Oh, yeah.
He's tiny. Downey Jr. dwarfs him in what previews I have seen.
That's
saying something, because he's no taller than I am. And then you have a guy like, what's his name? Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
The guy that plays Thor, who's like 7'9". Just made that up. Anyway.
That's pretty tall.
That's all I got for news. Wrapping her up here. Wes is done with Hollywood.
Well, when you're, you know, that Walmart 3-pack of DVDs.
Dude.
Yeah, like these movies, where would you even, they don't have some of the older ones in the movie stores to rent. I mean,
right.
How else would you get them?
I mean,
if you can't find movies, which I've done this before, actually. There's this website called Amazon. Yeah, if you can't find current, former films, like, I couldn't find Dave. Have you ever seen the movie Dave?
Oh, yeah. Just Kevin Kline.
Pulled up a little Amazon, which, conveniently enough, you can get to via our blog, top left-hand corner. We've been kind of nice enough to put that there for you. Just click on that link. Search bar pops up on Amazon. Just type in.
You know, Goodfellas. That's a good point. I bet your dad would love a Goodfellas DVD for Christmas, wouldn't he?
And I can re-gift mine.
Exactly. So
I can burn mine onto a blank DVD and give it to him.
Or I can go to Amazon.
Yeah, that's what I'm screaming. So, like he said, we've made it really easy for you.
You're making me want to go watch Goodfellas. I haven't seen that one in a
Yeah.
while. I believe I may go home and bust out the 3-pack.
And then, if you're so inclined, I bet you could find Goodfellas 2 on Amazon somewhere.
Did they make one?
I don't know. You could look on Amazon. I'm
sure
they have it.
All I know is I can appreciate pre-1995 Ray Liotta.
Oh. That's
or great. And Goodfellas 2, maybe post 1999, Ray Liotta.
You're just throwing out.
Amazon, yeah. Good.
Anyway,
Goodfellas 4.
Amazon, and thanks to those of you out there who
kindly
clicked that link. All right, that pretty much does it. Next week, hopefully we'll be back with a...
Hopefully our players will not be dead. That's my only goal.
Hopefully we'll be noticeably intoxicated from celebrating all weekend next week when we do
and
this podcast.
We are going to try to have a huge filming
thing, extravaganza
on Saturday. So if you're so inclined and see us roaming the parking lot, make sure and holler at us. And we'd love to film you and try to make you look as...
We'd love to shoot you.
...silly as possible. We'll have a huge stack of corn dogs. And look ridiculous, so we're trying to attract as many LSU fans as we can.
Totally joking on corn. If you show up and ask for a corn dog.
I'm going to take a fishing pole and a corn dog and put one on the end and just see what happens.
Okay.
All right.
You better
anyway,
feed Tesla because he might get that bad boy.
Anyway, we got to get to watch the basketball game, so we got to get out of here. All right, I'm Marty.
Dog alert.
And I'm Wes. Keep the change, you filthy animals.
Yeah.